Good morning, Nashville, and welcome into the Michelle Knezevic Show. I'm Michelle Knezevic, joined with Jared Cassidy. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. We are also streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. Every day, our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are going to get to a lot of topics today between the Predators, the Titans, some SEC football. And we even got a little IndyCar here in Nashville today. I'm going to hit the Grand Prix in downtown a little bit later this afternoon. But if you want to weigh in on any of the conversations, if you have a topic you want us to discuss, you can text us. The game phone and text line driven by WilsonCounty.com, 615-737-1025. Jared, happy Saturday. How we doing?
Happy Saturday, Michelle. Happy Saturday, Nashville. Let's have a day.
Let's have a day. And there's nothing really short to talk about today. Usually, you know, in the summer, it's kind of that slow time. And we're kind of trying to get out of that funk. But we've had a bit going on, especially with training camp started. If you've listened to the show on Saturdays, you know that we like to start off with this thing called the morning brew. Grab your coffee. I've got my Dunkin' this morning, if you can see it on the live stream. A nice extra large coffee. Jared, I know you've had a couple coffees in you this morning.
I have.
Morning Brew, we do all the headlines, national, local, things that you need to know, things that will keep you up to date on the sports world. So first off, we'll start with a little Predators news. Yakov Trenin, he has finalized his deal with the Nashville Predators that went to arbitration, but he will now sign with the Predators for $1.7 million per year for 2 years. That we talked about earlier this week, you know, on the show. Willie Donick had some news about the arbitrator pushed it off a day, so this ended up coming in on Friday. But really great to get Yakov Trenin locked down. He was actually a player who really showed up in that playoff series against the Colorado Avalanche. 3 goals in 3 games, which if you are a Predators fan and you watch that series, it was pretty hard to get anything offensively going. And Yakov Trenin was one of those guys. So he's another depth piece on the roster for the Nashville Predators. Switching over to the Tennessee Titans, week 2 of training camp, I got to finally get out there, Jared. It was so great to see so many fans there, considering last year was my first training camp here in Nashville, and it was vastly different. And I finally feel like we're getting out of COVID and fans are able to be there, which is awesome. You see all these little kids, you know, going up to Derrick Henry and going up to their idols. I remember going to the Giants training camp when I was probably 5 or 6 years old and getting like autographs signed and everything. And it's so amazing. So training camp, it was there was a lot of fans there on Thursday. And I'm going to give you guys a couple players, a couple non-rookies, a couple rookies that are going to be good to just keep an ear out for, keep an eye out for on Twitter if you're seeing any videos posted by anyone at training camp. But a couple guys that really stuck out in my mind in training camp. I was there on Tuesday and Thursday this week. But Roger McCreary, and coming up in the next segment, we're going to hear an interview with Roger McCreary. He came on Robbie and Rex Road yesterday morning. Just a pure gold interview. He even sang for us, which was pretty incredible. But Roger McCreary, he was a second-round draft pick out of Auburn. And my first interaction with him actually was at SEC Media Day 2 weeks ago in Atlanta. He is the bean connoisseur of Bush's Beans, the official baked bean of the SEC, which is absolutely incredible. So he was out of SEC Media Days promoting that product. But we also, Caroline Fenton and I also got to speak to him about how being on the Titans so far. Obviously, this was pre-training camp, but how were OTAs? How was rookie minicamp? And he was a guy coming in that when you look at the, like, when people say for quarterbacks, their hand size, oh, your hands are too small. For Roger McCreary, being a cornerback, it was his arm length. So people were saying, you know, his arms are too short. He's not going to be able to be a DB in the NFL. And then on the flip side, Auburn fans and Auburn media were telling Caroline and I at SEC Media Day, oh, he was the steal of the draft. He should have been a first rounder. And it's easy to hear that, and it's easy to think, okay, we'll wait and see. But in training camp, he has just put on a show so far. And Shane Bowen, the defensive coordinator, even spoke to the media on Tuesday saying, when asked about Roger, he's not a rookie. This guy has been able to learn inside and outside, which is very impressive for any player in the NFL, and let alone being a rookie to do it. So Shane Bowen had a lot of praise for Roger. And I think when a coach says something like that, you definitely have to listen. When they say he is not a rookie, or they make specific statements about that. And this DB's room is very young, but I think Roger McCreary is definitely going to be able to earn a starting spot, especially with Elijah Molden. We haven't seen him on the field for the last couple of days. And Jared, I have this comparison with him, kind of like a Nick Westbrook-Akina last year. Mike Vrabel was very open and praised Nick Westbrook-Akina for being so incredibly versatile at the wide receiver position. And if you're a coach, you love that because they have the ability to fill into not just one, but a couple different positions. And then you flip it over to defense. And if they get a guy like Roger McCreary, he's a guy who if Christian Fulton goes down, he can fill in there.
Right.
If Elijah Molden goes down, he can fill in there. So he's a guy who they feel confident they can plug and play him. And I almost feel like he's like a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah. 100%, because that's what Nick Westbrook-Akina was last year. He was the plug-and-play guy that came in when they needed it. He was very productive down towards the end of the season, and they had to have it. I mean, I asked TD, I caught him in the break room here earlier this week when he was on Freddie and Fitzsimmons, and I asked him about him, and he and I talked about him for about a solid 5 minutes while they were at break, so... It was pretty interesting just hearing things like that. And it's not just from TD or you. It's everybody, you know, anybody that goes there. I haven't been this year, but I went the last time that it was open to fans. And, I mean, I enjoy it every year, but it's getting football time, guys. Get ready.
It's so exciting. And ESPN put out on Twitter just the college football hype video. And I was watching it just, like, sitting on my couch, and I was like, oh, I'm so excited. And we've had that like slow ramp up, right? It was SEC Media Day and now training camp, and now we're seeing some preseason games, and it's you're really starting to get excited. And I hate to be that person that just says, oh, I want fall now, because I do love summer, but I'm ready for football season. A couple other guys switching to the wide receiver side of things. Obviously, AJ Brown is with the Eagles, so there was a lot of worry, I guess you could say, heading into training camp, especially with Treylon Burks' asthma and not seeing him on the field for rookie minicamp. But Treylon Burks has been another rookie who has, soon as training camp started, he came in more in shape. I have not seen any issues with him as far as needing to sit out, needing to take an inhaler, or lacking really in any way. He's been a guy who has been making some big plays, and actually him and Roger McCreary have kind of been on each other, and it's been fun to watch those two battle. But Treylon Burks spoke to us, I think this was Thursday. Yep, Thursday. And just saying how he's a big guy and he can use, you know, his physical ability to, you know, blow through a guy. People made the comparison between him and AJ Brown. Obviously, that's a huge comparison. Treylon Burks is coming in as a rookie. And no, I don't think he'll be able to fill A.J. Brown's shoes. But I do think that the number of options that Ryan Tannehill will be able to have could be able to fill that production of an A.J. Brown. You don't have a specific player who's going to give you a game like the San Francisco game, or who's going to really just scare the opposite team. But I think between Robert Woods, looks great coming off the ACL injury, hasn't been wearing his knee brace in training camp. You've got Treylon Burks. You've got Nick Westbrook-Akina, who we saw prove himself last year, and it just has another year of building that chemistry with Ryan Tannehill, another year in the offense. And we all know how the coaching staff feels about Nick Westbrook-Akina. And then you've got some other guys who are looking to fill a spot on the roster. Racy McMath has been a guy who who has made some big plays. He made a big play on Thursday. He ended up stepping out, so it didn't count when they were doing the two-minute drills. But there's a guy who's 6'3", a big receiver, and I kind of compare him to a T. Higgins, who was on the Cincinnati Bengals, right? They're a bigger guy, a taller guy. Use that, because it's not as common at the receiver position. And then you've also got, if you go to tight end, some more options for Ryan Tannehill. You've got Austin Hooper, who's finally a number one tight end for him. And we know how much he loves his number one tight ends. We saw it when Arthur Smith was here, and him using, like when Arthur Smith was the offensive coordinator, using that tight end and feeling really comfortable making those short passes. And then you've also got Chigakonkwo, who's a rookie coming in from Maryland. And then you've also got Jeffrey Swaim, who was your number one tight end last year, but is a great third option, right? Not a first option, but a great third option.
Right. You don't want, and I mean this in all respect, but you don't want Jeff Swaim to be your number one tight end going out of the starting gates. Obviously, that's Hooper's position. That's what he should be. That's why they got him. They needed a tight end. They haven't had a consistent tight end since the days of Delanie Walker and then Jonnu Smith. And now they shipped off Jonnu Smith, and the Patriots are misusing him from every day of the week. They misuse him,
Coming from a Boston
fan. I mean, that's coming from a Patriots fan. I mean, that's they just don't use him. They don't get him the ball enough. Like, he can run the ball out of the backfield. There's many players that can do that, like Deebo Samuel. I mean, you know, he's the biggest one right now that's doing that. It's just, yeah. You know, the wide receiver, if you would have told me that you got rid of A.J. Brown and that, you know, you drafted these guys and got these players, I would have been a little shaken up. But I'll be honest, the things out of camp that I'm more impressed with is the timing from Ryan Tannehill to these receivers, which obviously the receivers play a big part in that. But I'm just saying it's a two-way street, and if both streets are working, then that's good. Whereas it seemed like last year it was like a one-way street. I'm just glad to hear that. You know, I mean, hearing Stillman even say that is just great. You know, he's been talking about it all week, just their timing. TD was on there, the power hour. It's just awesome to hear that. Like, let's get this, let's get some mojo going into the season, guys.
And Ryan Tannehill has only thrown one interception, correct, intercepted by Kevin Byard, which was this past week. So, in addition to that timing, he's been very, very efficient with his wide receivers, tight ends, and on the offense. On the other side, we are going to hear an interview with Titans rookie Roger McCreary. All that and more. You're listening to the Michelle Knezevic Show on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. Welcome back into the Michelle Knezevic Show. I'm Michelle Knezevic. We've got Jared Cassidy. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, and on The Game Nashville app. We're also streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, driven by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. And if you want to weigh in on the conversation, we're talking some Tennessee Titans training camp right now. Feel free to text us, call us, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But right now, we are going to hear from a Titans rookie who I think is going to make a significant impact on this roster this year. Roger McCreary sat down with Robbie and Rex Road yesterday morning. Here was that interview.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in one of the stories of Titans training camp thus far, Titans cornerback Roger McCreary. Roger, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Hey, how you doing? I'm doing good.
We're good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Roger, what has camp been like for you in terms of just everything you've had to process and learn out there? How's camp gone for you so far?
I would say camp's going great. I'm just enjoying the ride. This is a great experience for me. I'm competing and just playing with the players, some of the teammates on my side. Everything's just great. I'm just trying to learn day by day and just get better no matter what.
Roger, we talked to Shane Bowen the other day, and he was talking about the difficulty of playing the outside and inside, playing both of them. And I get the sense, not every rookie is going to be thrown into both of those, but you have been. So how has that gone for you? What is the difficulty of trying to transition from one to the other?
I would say it wasn't easy when I first started, but it's just something that I'm starting to get used to day by day, just learning new stuff and, new ways of how to play different from the inside to the outside. Just listen to my coaches and just the veteran guys like Amani and KB and everything. They just tell me how I can cheat this way and how I can do this. It's just really like knowing the defense more, to know where your hair can be at, to know how you can play the inside and outside. So it just me getting my playbook more and just studying and just trying to focus on the little techniques and stuff. And I feel like it's going to be good once I focus on those things.
Is one or the other, do you think, better suited for you?
No, I wouldn't say that. Really, at the end of the day, it's all DB. I would say it's really the same stuff. It's just like a little like technique you have to do, but I wouldn't say like that's one I'll do better.
So, Roger, I know you obviously, you haven't gone on the field for a game yet at the NFL level, but just from practices, like can you tell a big difference between college football and the NFL game? What's kind of been your thoughts on making that jump from high-level college football in the SEC, of course, now to the NFL?
Yes, most definitely. I say there's a difference between college and football. Just the tense of the game and how fast the game is going. I never noticed it really go that fast. College, I was in college. I was like seeing stuff come. Like it was kind of like slow to me at first, but like going to the next level and just practicing stuff, it just more intense and it just the game speed up even more. Like you have to react fast, you have to think fast, you have to be urgent. It's just stuff like that you have to really pay attention to.
So one of my favorite reps of camp so far, Roger, was I think the other day, the first one of one-on-ones, you against Treylon Burks, and I thought you did everything you want to do as a corner in that situation. It was a perfect ball to the sideline. He got it, but it was a fun matchup to watch. How about just going against him? What's that been like for you? And when you go against a Treylon Burks, obviously there's a great receiver in the SEC that you guys saw, but you've seen a lot of them. How would you compare that?
Yeah, most definitely. Just going against Trey at practice and everything, that's my guy. We both from the SEC, so like it's just great going against him every day at practice because the type of receiver that he is, that's good. That's a good skill set that he has for his size. He's fast. He's strong. He can roll and he can jump, get the ball, and everything. So it's just great going against him at practice because I know he's going to help me every day to get better at stuff that I need to get better at. And just playing SEC for my past, those guys, I went against a lot of great receivers. But now, guys I wouldn't even probably know that would be great. I feel like just the lead now, they're just going to be – everybody's going to be great. So you really can't underestimate nobody who you're going against. So that's just my mindset, just try to get better and just dominate the person I'm going against.
Titans defensive back Roger McCrary on with us here on Robbie and Rexro. So, Roger, you brought up Kevin Byard and Amani Hooker. There's a lot of veteran guys on your defense. How helpful has that been for you, having guys that have played a lot of football in the NFL, particularly back there with you, like you said, with Amani and KB, just teaching you the ropes and what to look for at the NFL level? How beneficial has that been for you?
I promise you, it's been great just practicing with them guys. Amani and KB start off with them. It's just like being in the meeting room with them, like they help me out with every little thing that I need to know. Even when I do good, they'll be like, you can do this. They can make it more better, so you won't put a lot of stuff, like a lot of stress on yourself. It's just like no matter what, no matter questions I have, they're going to always be there for me and just everything from their experience. So I'm happy that I'm playing alongside with them. And just the other guys, like David Long, I have to communicate with him. You can just tell, like, just from, like, how he want to be so great. So he going to push you no matter what. He going to push the guys around him. And I can see that at practice every day. And, like, he want to win no matter what. So I just feed off his energy and just see how leader he is. And then I'm just excited just to play next to them guys because they're showing, like, how the standard is on the defense.
If there's one thing between now and the start of the season, Roger, that you definitely have to get better at, what would it be?
I would say just me. I would say, like, just overall my whole game experience, I would say I wouldn't say, like, I'm ready for the game because I don't know how the game is going to go. So I would just say just everything about me that I just need to get better at. That's how I feel.
Every day. So I'm 100% with you on that. Now, I think John Robinson, after they drafted you, I think he mentioned – I guess what'd he say? Cereal and bologna sandwiches and baked beans. So what's the full pregame meal? It's not just baked beans, right? You got other stuff with it?
Oh yes, sir. It's gonna be some other stuff with it. It was just the beans just always stood out with people around me. But I ate some other stuff with the food. and stuff. But it's like now, whatever they serve is, I'm gonna just have to eat it.
That's right.
So I'm good. I can't make no demands here. I just gotta eat what they serve.
And they're probably not serving a lot of bologna sandwiches, right?
No, sir, not no bologna sandwich. It's going to be something healthy and good for the game.
That's right. Titans defensive back Roger McCreary on with us here on Robbie and Rex. So, Roger, I'm interested to get your thoughts on this. We hear so much and we talk so much here in Nashville about rivalries and college football, and it's SEC territory here. But what's it like from your vantage point to play in the Iron Bowl, Auburn against Alabama, maybe the greatest rivalry in all of college football? What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, growing up as a kid in Alabama, that always been a big game to us, like kids growing up. Either you're an Auburn fan or you're a Bama fan. I grew up a Bama fan. That's the crazy thing about it. But in high school, Auburn, they gave me a scholarship. They took a chance on me. So I flipped the switch. That's when I hated Bama. Auburn was the team. But just to finally grow up and to finally play in that game for them 4 years, I feel like it was one of the best games ever. It was always like electrifying crowd and everything, especially at Jordan-Hare. And I'm just happy that my last game was the Iron Bowl. Like, no matter how it ended, I was just happy, just grateful to be playing in that game.
An incredible game, too. You're the Lone Ranger here. And you got what? Well, you got three Alabama guys on this team, right? You got Shaheem Carter, Deshaun Hannon, and of course, Derrick Henry. Is there any back and forth? Is there any trash talk? I would not advise talking a lot of trash to Derrick, but, you know.
I wouldn't say it's a trash talk. Yeah, it was a little diss. It was a little sneak diss. But I don't think trash talk going to start until Iron Bowl week.
That's right. Titans defensive back Roger McCreary on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road.
Well, on that idea too, Roger, I know with the rookies, a lot of times there's fight songs, things like that. Anything so far in camp, have you had to get up yet and like do a routine or anything? Have you had to go get food for the guys? Like, what's the rookie experience been like for you with the veterans?
Oh, yeah, the rookie experience, yeah, that's a lot. You know, you got to go out there, do a song for them or make a joke, any of that stuff. Got to get snacks for the team, for the meeting room, position meeting room. And what's another thing? Oh, yeah, you got to get the equipment, too, after practice. That was the first I ever experienced that. I already knew it was coming, but I was carrying about 4 shoulder pads, 4 helmets, and everything.
Did you sing a song? Like what?
Like that.
Did you have to sing a song?
Oh yeah, yes, sir. I sung a song.
What song was it?
They called me up there a lot of times. I'm not going to lie. It was, what was that song? It's Been a Long Time Coming by Sam Cooke.
okay.
Good song. I'm trying to hit the high vocals on them.
Oh yeah. Can you give us just like a little feel for it?
A little feel for it. I'm just start out with the first song. Got it.
I was born by the river.
That's how I started.
Nailed
off.
It. Attaboy. That's how it's done.
That was good. You hit that high.
Just absolutely nailed it.
Yeah, it was higher. It was higher in person though, so it kind of took everybody off guard.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'll be trying.
So you did a great job, Roger McCreary, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Over. Roger, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to join us. Continued good luck to you as you move through camp here, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
Roger McCreary, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Well, that was incredible.
That was incredible.
That's hitting a note.
He's pretty good.
Do baked beans have something to do with falsetto, being able to hit the notes?
Could be.
I don't know. I'm going to Google that right now.
Take your thoughts on our text.
Roger McCreary, officially my favorite Titans rookie. That was just absolutely incredible, the fact that he sung for us. But how are the rookies adjusting from college football and translating to the NFL? You're listening to the Michelle Knazovic Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.
Yeah, you know, with young quarterbacks, it's really cool, though, with Malik is he's able to retain information really well. And so his decision-making, which we monitor, has been very good for him. And things that he hasn't had to do before relative to work from the pocket, his feet need to catch up with his mind. And it's getting better. It takes time, you know. Malik has a very strong arm and a really cool skill set. You can't always rely on that all the time. He's his windows are tight. The geography is different with the hash marks in the program, which is makes a big difference, in my opinion. So the other thing too is, you know, when you're playing quarterback, the NFL provides protection for quarterbacks much more so than outside of the pocket. When you're in the pocket, which is the tackle box, you're protected in the head and neck area. You're protected from being hit low. You're also protected from being body weight landing on top of you. Tackle, that's three ways of protection for a quarterback. Once you leave the tackle box, the only area you're protected is the head and neck area. So you need to operate outside the pocket, but you need to be able to operate from inside the pocket. Operating outside the pocket is not a problem for Malik.
It sounds as if.
That was Pat O'Hara, Titans quarterback coach, speaking on Malik Willis. Welcome back into the Michelle Knezevic Show. I'm Michelle Knezevic, Jared Cassidy behind the glass. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. If you want to weigh in on the Titans, Malik Willis, training camp in general, any of the rookies, call or text 615-737-1025, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Jared, I want to get your thoughts on this. So Pat O'Hara basically spoke on, you know, Malik Willis and how he's doing in camp so far. But one thing that I took out of that comment, and shout out to Paul Kaharski who took the video, and that was on Twitter, that interview was by him. But he said that, you know, Malik's brain right now is working faster than his feet. So you think about it, in the film room studying, and even Roger McCreary, the interview that we heard last segment, he said that one thing that he needs to get better on is being able to process it all in that transition from college football to, I almost said SEC football, but Malik Willis is only in the SEC for a year, college football to the NFL. So as a Titans fan, if we're going to put our fan cap on for a second, do you think that is promising for Malik Willis? Because we've heard two sides of the story. We've heard, okay, Malik Willis in training camp, he's been struggling a little bit. But I personally think that on Thursday, he had a really, probably his best performance yet, where they were performing the two-minute drill. You know, and you actually kind of got to see him with a little pressure on him in a crunch situation. But then there's other times where you're like, oh, he's definitely a rookie and he's not ready. But I think where the Titans drafted him at, you don't need him to be ready. There's no chance that he will start this year for the Tennessee Titans. I mean, God forbid Tannehill and Logan Woodside go down. But I don't even think, you know, he's competing for that backup role.
Right. I still think it's Logan Woodside's. I think that they've seen enough from him that they know what they will get from him. I mean, Malik Willis was never drafted to be like the starter right away. That was not their intention. They know that it's a project. You know, very few people, I mean, like Joe Burrow, you know, like freakish people like that can plug and play. And it's like, you know, they were just playing college and now they're playing
just
NFL.
Comes off an ACL injury, you know, takes right. His team to the Super Bowl, most sacked quarterback.
Yeah, it's just natural. Just walk up and do it. I don't know. I mean, the speed is obviously one of the biggest things about it. You know, it's getting to that NFL speed. They're going to be quicker. Guys are going to be at you a little bit faster than they were in college. And I think that Malik is on track. I mean, I can only speak. I mean, I haven't seen him, so I mean, I can only go by people that I trust. But I just think that he's on the right track. I mean, I still don't think that he'll be active. Kind of like Stillman said it, I believe, on Friday, but or maybe Thursday, but not being active every week, still being on the roster, but not actually being there. I would completely be cool with that. He's still learning. You still got Logan Woodside, which in the videos that I've seen, Logan Woodside still looks as a viable backup. I mean,
Logan Woodside's been in this offense for the last couple of years, and the coaches love him.
Right.
I mean, Mike Vrabel says that guy is the hardest working, you know, studying, and really takes his backup position seriously. And I think if you're looking at this from a fan perspective on, you know, we drafted a quarterback and everybody had kind of a sour taste in their mouth after that divisional game here in Nissan against the Bengals. Of course you're going to have that taste. And then people in the offseason, you know, get rid of Tannehill, sign Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson or essentially anybody else. And then this quarterback class was an interesting one because Malik Willis, I think his draft stock at one point, people had him going as a third overall pick. I'd seen him, you know, a very high first rounder. So there was a lot of polarizing opinions on him and a lot of the other quarterbacks in this quarterback class. So I think right now, if you're looking at this, the Titans got him for a low risk, high reward. Because if he doesn't develop and turn into a guy who can perform at the NFL level, okay, that's fine. You got him as a third rounder and you didn't, you know, trade up to get him. You didn't lose really anything by getting him. The fact that he dropped that low and he was still there and you thought, oh, let's get him because we do see potential in him. But then on the flip side, if he turns out to be this incredible quarterback, okay, well, that's great. You got him in the third round.
Yeah. I mean, they basically stole him. I mean, that's basically what it is. I mean, they, you know, TD said it. He said that he feels that the Titans have 3 first-round picks. Mm-hmm. And I completely agree with
that. And he's not the first person I've heard say that.
Exactly. And I completely agree with that. I just think that you got him. You didn't lose anything. Your stock only got better and potentially got way better. We won't know that. You know, I still think that, like, a lot of these rookie quarterbacks, especially these dual-threat quarterbacks, that their first tendency is they want to run because they did it in college. Yep. Well, this is not – it's not how – I mean, it is – it's playable in the NFL. I'm not saying that. But it's not like, you know, 75% of the teams are doing it. Some of these have these drop-back quarterbacks that have the ability to run, like Aaron Rodgers. You know, he can, he's mobile. He can get you the yards if he needs it. Mm-hmm. Malik is going to take time to develop that asset to be able to know when to run and know when to throw it. You know, Tannehill, same thing. Tannehill, you know, he can get to the end zone. He's good for that little bootleg out there. That's something that they can work with. I do see maybe them this year. I would like to see them working Malik Willis, even if he is on the active roster at that time, work him in the situational plays like that. Yeah. Maybe if you're in the end zone, a little like 2nd and 4 or something, let's give it a shot, you know?
Well, he has all the tools, right? We've seen his arm. We've seen his athletic ability. And it was funny because when he was talking to us, he's like, I can process it in my brain, but I just can't get my feet on, like, I can't connect them yet. And that's all about, TD asked him, well, how do you fix that? Reps. So every day in training camp, and that has been a great thing about Tennessee's training camp so far this year, is that they've actually been able to have all their wide receivers and their prominent players on the field. How many times last year were we talking about, oh, where's A.J. Brown? Oh, where's Julio Jones? And those are your first two targets. You don't have a number one tight end for Tannehill. So I made this point earlier in the show that if you look at this offense, I was really down on it this year. I thought, oh, you just lost A.J. Brown and all of these question marks surrounding Treylon Burks. Is he overweight? Should he have been a first rounder? But in training camp, I've kind of had a different look at it. And it's almost been more promising because actually being able to see everybody on the field and the amount of options that Ryan Tannehill is going to have this year. Yes, you do not have a wide receiver like an A.J. Brown, like a guy who's really going to scare your defense and can have 2 or 3 guys on him and still make a 60-yard catch or something. But you have a lot of different options. And if you have a quarterback like Ryan Tannehill, who isn't an Aaron Rodgers, who isn't a Tom Brady, and has a bunch of different guys out there, that's going to help him a lot. And I can't stress enough, I think that Austin Hooper is going to be one of the X factors this year. How well did we see Ryan Tannehill perform when Arthur Smith was the offensive coordinator and they had all of those tight end schemes for Ryan Tannehill? I think that they could have 2 tight ends out there. I think that Chigakonkwa, the rookie out of Maryland, could also earn himself a starting role. And then you've got Robert Woods, who's been in here since – pretty much since they got him. He came in here and did his rehab in Tennessee because he wanted to make sure that he was doing his rehab here. He didn't have to do that. He was making sure he was here and he could get any work with Ryan Tannehill. So, do I think Ryan Tannehill is going to have this huge, incredible season? I don't know. But do I think that they got better around him? Yeah, I do. Do I think that the defense is pretty much still in play? Yeah, the front is. The secondary, still young.
Right.
And I think we could have a breakout year from Christian Fulton. Kevin Byard even spoke to the podium the other day and said he told Christian Fulton, hey, I want you to go for a Pro Bowl this year. I want you to perform like you are playing in the Pro Bowl and you want to earn that spot. You got Kevin Byard back there, which he caught that interception in camp the other day, Ryan Tannehill's first interception in camp. But I still feel like the Titans are getting disrespected by the national media. The Colts get Matt Ryan, and the Titans are still coming off of being the number one seed. Derrick Henry is healthy, which I haven't even mentioned him for the entire show yet. But they're still coming off that, and the only significant loss is that they had A.J. Brown, but they've made other additions. But people are still looking at the Colts like they're going to run away with the division. Why are the Titans getting so disrespected? You're listening to Michelle Knezevic Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Happy Saturday, Nashville. Welcome into the Michelle Knezevic Show. I'm Michelle Knezevic with Jared Cassidy on this beautiful Saturday morning in Nashville. Final segment. I teased it a little bit before the break. The Titans have run away with the division the last 2 years. They got the number one seed last year. Derrick Henry's coming back healthy this year. They got a couple solid one first-round pick, a second-rounder who I personally think should be a first-rounder. But
it should be three first-rounders.
Yeah, should be three. And the Colts, still the favorite. The Colts are always hanging over the Titans' head, even though they swept him last year. And I know they had another switch at quarterback for the fifth season. Ever since Andrew Luck, that starting quarterback role has just been a revolving door. But yet, don't get me wrong. I know the Colts have Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman Jr. They've got a solid offensive line. You've got guys like, I almost just said, Darius Rucker. Darius Leonard.
Darius Rucker.
You've got DeForest Buckner. See, I like combined those two.
Got Hootie and the Blowfish out
there. Exactly. So don't get me wrong. I think that the Colts are going to be a solid team. But I don't know if I'm so high on Matt Ryan. I'm high on the Matt Ryan we saw when he made a Super Bowl run with the Atlanta Falcons.
Me too.
But that was in 2016?
Yeah, and that was a different Matt Ryan too, though.
So that was 6 years ago. And I know he was on a Falcons roster that was a bit depleted. And we haven't seen him be on a team with pieces around him since then. But also, Matt Ryan's older. Right? He's that much older, and he's not that quarterback who took his team to the Super Bowl. But I'll play devil's advocate for a second. That was a run-based team that he went to the Super Bowl with in 2016. And now he's got Jonathan Taylor with him, up with the Colts. So I think that he's a better option than Carson Wentz. I think that he's a better option than Jacoby Brissett when he took over the starting job. I think as far as a leader in the locker room, we had Stephen Holder from ESPN on with Robbie and Rexroad this week, and he spoke as highly about Matt Ryan to say that he gives a Peyton Manning-esque leadership in the locker room. And Stephen Holder isn't the first person that I have heard say that. I've heard a Colts coach, and his name is escaping me right now, used to be a wide receiver for the Colts. When Peyton Manning was on the team, he even compared
Austin Collie?
Yes. No. Well, I'll think about it in 1 second. He even compared him to Peyton Manning. So I'm going to sit back here for a second and be like, whoa, 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 whoa. If you think he's, you know, the best, but Peyton Manning comparisons?
Yeah, let's don't go that far. I mean,
like, it's Peyton freaking Manning.
Yeah, no, he's a stud.
I mean, I don't know. So many people are so high on Matt Ryan, and I think that, yeah, he's going to give the Colts a solid, stable quarterback in that position. But, I mean, he's no Aaron Rodgers. He's no Tom Brady. And I just feel like that's been the outlook on the Colts ever since they signed Matt Ryan. And yes, I think that Matt Ryan is a better quarterback than Carson Wentz. I say that with I think Carson Wentz had an awful season, but I do think Carson Wentz is more mobile than Matt Ryan, can get out of the pocket than Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is older. He's got to be a better leader in that locker room. And we all saw the Hard Knocks where you could tell that Carson Wentz didn't really fit that role. But are they that much better than the Titans? So the Colts' odds to win the AFC South were, this was before Matt Ryan, they were +160. They were +110. Since getting Matt Ryan, they surged to +160. I just said that backwards. The Colts surged from 160 to +110 following the Matt Ryan deal. It is early and I haven't finished my coffee yet, so I will blame it on that. While on the opposite side, the Titans slipped from +110 to +130. And that was just with the addition of Matt Ryan to the Colts. Do I think that it should have changed that much? No. I think the teams honestly look pretty even. I don't think either one is leaps and bounds over the other just by getting Matt Ryan in your locker room. I still think that the Colts are feeling the effects of having a different quarterback every single year. Darius Leonard tweeted when they got Matt Ryan and said, oh, another year, another quarterback, or something along those lines. Year five, fifth quarterback. I mean, think about that. The guy who's supposed to be the constant in your locker room, the constant on your offense. When you're having a new guy come in every single year and learn a new offense, he's not going to be the superstar. And hey, I could be biting my tongue in a couple months and be like, I was wrong. I was very, very wrong. But I'm just not that high on Matt Ryan. I think I need to see it to believe it. And I'm not too high on the Colts. Colts and the Titans play on October 2nd, and they play again on October 23rd, which I absolutely hate because it's way too close together.
Yeah, when that came out, I was totally against it.
And, I mean, that could be the playoff game because there could be only one team from the AFC South that'll make the playoffs. I mean, they don't play in a good division, right? The Texans, don't even really know about them. And then the Jags. So I do think the Jags will be better than last year. I think they'll win, I think they could have maybe 5 or 6 wins. I really do. Because I think that just the whole coaching situation and everything going on down there really hindered Trevor Lawrence. And I think that, they made some offseason moves. And
I agree. I think that they'll win some more games. I've even seen people say that they can make the playoffs this year.
Whoa.
Which is like a very, very far out there. Like, this isn't a hot take at the moment. But, hey, back to the, you said wide receivers coach for the Colts. It is, in fact, Reggie Wayne. It is not Austin Collins.
Yes, Reggie Wayne. So he went as far to say, as when Matt Ryan got added to the locker room, that, I feel like it's Peyton Manning. And this was all on the record. We had a soundbite from him a couple months ago when they first made the addition to the team. And then Stephen Holder, he ran it back the other day and said something like that. So if that's the discussion going on, I mean, that's great for the Colts. But I also wouldn't go as far to make that comparison until I see how it all comes together on the field, because those are some very, very strong words. Tennessee and Indy play each other on October 2nd. They play again on October 23rd. Very, very close. But like you said, Jared, the Jags could be a sneaky team in the division. Everybody always seems to count them out. But, I mean, they do have Trevor Lawrence on their team. They've got a new coaching staff. They've got hopefully not a cancer in the locker room like an Urban Meyer and all of that drama just surrounding the team.
Yeah, I would just hope that now that they have a coach that is present and will take the flights with them and not go to just random places. Maybe they stand a better chance this year.
And who doesn't ask who number 99 on the Rams is? I think we should watch out for that guy. Aaron Donald? Yeah.
Pretty good.
I think he'd be a guy that you're going to want to watch out for, Trevor Lawrence. Week 3 of training camp coming up next week. We've got preseason games this weekend. Football is finally back. We'll be back here next Saturday, same time, same place. You're listening to the Michelle Knezevic Show. I'm Michelle Knezevic. Jared Cassidy, 102.5 The Game, 106.3, and the Game Nashville app.